Well, welcome to the weekend and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee Renfro and I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus and currently battling a little bit of a cold and a little virus. So my voice sounds a little bit off than normal, but that's okay. Feeling better than I sound, but I'm just so glad that you've taken some time today to join us as we are journeying through our Christmas devotionals, as we are looking at this beautiful reality of what does it mean that God is with us, and really the Christmas season, the coming of God in Jesus, as we've been looking at the last several weeks with John 1:14 and the different elements of that, and even today as we're going to kind of focus in on kind of the humanity of Jesus. That's what we talked about this past Sunday, and really the idea of what does it mean that Jesus, that God became flesh, and what are the implications of this, that Jesus is not just fully God, but he's also fully man. He's a fully human, and there are some significant implications because of that. And one of those, as we've hit on all week, is we want to culminate here in Revelation. To kind of look at from Revelation 5, this incredible reminder that we see of what happens at the end. And I just want to read it with you as we jump in and look at this idea of why is it so significant that Jesus is both God and man. Revelation 5, I really want to focus on verse 3, where it says, "And no one in heaven or on earth that was able to open the scroll or to look into it." Because in verse 2, we saw these angels proclaiming, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And then in verse 4, "And I began," this is John writing this, who wrote obviously his gospel. He said, "And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" And so he looks and he sees at the throne, he sees the living creatures, and he says, "I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain." You see, what John is trying to help us to picture and to see here is he sees Jesus. And as everyone's looking over these scrolls to see who is worthy to open this scroll and to break its seals, no one is worthy. No one on earth or in heaven has found worthy. But one who is of the line of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, one as an offspring, one who has come in the form of a man, who has come as a human being. And that's why it's so significant that Jesus isn't just God, but he is God and man. It's what we call theologically this hypostatic union, that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. And here are those implications, and here why that's so significant for us. Is I talked about this on Sunday, is that Jesus, what is so significant about his being born here on earth and living a full human life is because he needed to do what we cannot do. That he needed to accomplish for us that which we cannot accomplish for ourselves, that Jesus was born like you and me as a human being, but unlike us, he lived a sinless and perfect life, that Jesus faced temptations to sin, temptations to reject the Father's will for him. And we even see this right back in the garden. How was Adam and Eve tempted, right? That Satan came to them and brought with them what 1 John describes as the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That he tried to tempt Eve with this apple, the fruit. We often think it's an apple, but it's a fruit. Who knows what it could have been? But this fruit that looked pleasing to the eyes, that she saw that it was one to be desired to make one wise, and that it seemed good to eat and enjoyable. And so there was these lusts of the eyes, seeing and wanting, the lust of the flesh, the wanting to eat of it because it looked good, and the pride of life that it could make one wise. And then if you fast forward to the temptations of Jesus, we know Adam and Eve fell short of that. They fell into those temptations. They acted upon those. They rebelled. Satan comes before Jesus in Matthew 4 and gives the exact same temptation. He stands before Jesus and he tempts him, right? That if you're hungry, he's been fasting, he's hungry. We see the humanity of Jesus on display there, that you, if you don't eat for 40 days, 40 nights, I bet you're hungry. I'm hungry right now. I haven't even fasted that long. But Jesus is hungry. And Satan says, "Well, make these breads become stones. You can do that." Really trying to get the lust of the flesh, right? Make these stones fulfill, gratify your desires. Jesus says, "No, man doesn't live on bread alone." And then he goes and he says, "Hey, if you really are the Son of God, throw yourselves down from here and the angels will will deliver you, right? Prove that you are the Son of God. This idea of the pride of life, right? This idea that you are somebody, to show us that you truly are who you say that you are. And Jesus says, no, that's not how, like, God is not to be tested. And then he takes them up and he shows them the third time, right? Shows them all the kingdoms of the earth. He wants them to see these things, the lust of the eyes, to look and to see what he could have in Jesus. And he says, I'll give you all these things if you worship me. Jesus says, I will worship. Get away from me, Satan. I will worship the one true God. And you see, what is so significant about Jesus's humanity is Jesus went through the same kind of temptations that Eve and Adam went through, and yet he conquered. If sin came through one man, so can righteousness come through one man. That Jesus accomplished for us what we could not do for ourselves. That Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted in every way, as Hebrews tells us, but yet was without sin. And it's because he has overcome that temptation that he is able to deliver to us that which we cannot do for ourselves. The way that I said it on Sunday is that Jesus can give us what we cannot give because he lived the life we cannot live. See, Jesus can give you what you cannot get because he lived the life you cannot live. And what Jesus did through his life, death, and his resurrection is the God-man came to put death to death through his death. That because Jesus was fully human is that he could live a perfect, sinless life, and that he went to the cross and he died facing our temptations. He overcame those, and through his death and through his resurrection, he finally puts to death Satan, sin, and death. And why he is worthy to open up the scroll that Revelation says is because he is the only sinless and perfect human to ever live. And he died for you and for me, giving up his life to save his friends. And friends, that's what Christmas is all about. Is Jesus saves people like us because Jesus was tempted like us and he was human like us. And so Jesus is the God-man who was with us. And we can have hope this Christmas because of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. And so let's just take some time. I'd love to pray for you and pray for me as well, as we could reflect on Jesus as this lion, as this lamb who is worthy to open these scrolls. And because he knows what it's like to be human, he knows what it's like to conquer and overcome temptations, to walk in the will of the Father, that we too can have that same kind of hope as we trust and look to Christ. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great promise that we have in Jesus, who did what I cannot do. He constantly and continually overcame the temptations that were in front of him, that he knows what it's like to be tempted. And yet he trusted in his Father. He trusted in the word of God to overcome those temptations. And he is the one who is worthy. And we are grateful that he is worthy because he is our hope this Christmas. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us to trust you in those times, that we would be reminded of who you are, Jesus, as both the lion and the lamb who was slain, that because you gave up your life for us, we get to experience new life in you. And we are grateful for that, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, would you take a few moments and would you pray?